I'm Matthew Smith, Vermont Edition producer, and I wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Vermont has very strict laws about when and how an employer can require an employee to take a drug test. It's allowed when an employee first takes a job, and there are special cases with a fairly high burden that allow an employer to have an employee take a drug test after they've already been employed by the company. In no cases are employers allowed to do random drug testing. But some people say the law is too strict, and it prevents employers from taking action when an employee is drinking or using other substances that could impair their ability to function in their job. Representative Lynn Dickinson is a Republican legislator from St. Albans. She's lead sponsor of House Bill 200, which seeks to expand the ability of Vermont employers to administer drug tests to workers. We're going to talk about drug testing laws today, and we'll start with Representative Dickinson on why she thinks they need to change. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you, Jan. I'm glad to be here.
So what is the need that you're actually trying to fill, or what is the problem that you're trying to fix by changing the rules around when an employer can test?
Well, as you just mentioned, Vermont has very limited drug testing allowed by statute. It does allow for pre-employment drug testing, but only federal regulations involving very certain professions can be done with random drug testing, and Vermont really doesn't do any of that.
Like people who are driving, big rig trucks that would be subject to federal law.
Yeah, federal regulations cover that. We don't allow any of that. This was brought to my attention by a constituent who had a manufacturing plant where there was an elevated forklift a few years ago that ran into the wall and did quite a bit of physical damage to the warehouse, quite a bit of money. Luckily, no one was injured. But when they tried to use the existing statutes to have a drug test on the person, they were not able to do that. And so the new language that I added in H-200 is my intent was to allow an employer to test an employee for drugs if that employee had been in an accident. And obviously a drug-free environment in any workplace protects all of the workers as well as others in the public. So that was my goal.
Now, when there is an accident, there are cases in which an employer is currently allowed to drug test an employee. So what you're doing here is essentially sort of lowering the standard that an employer has to meet, or that, you know, the situation has to meet in order to be able to administer that drug test. So what is the, you know, what's the sort of technical lowering of the standard?
Yeah, the other new language is a reasonable basis for drug testing, and that has a slightly lower standard than the language that previously or currently is there, which is probable cause.
Both of those sound vague to me in some ways. You know, probable cause certainly has some legal definitions when we're talking about a court of law. But,
yes. You
know, probable cause and reasonable basis, how are we supposed to parse those if this becomes law, like what that actually means?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but there is a definition of reasonable basis that means evidence drawn from specific, objective, and articulatable facts and reasonable inferences drawn from those facts in light of experience. And a lawyer could give you a much better explanation of that than I could.
Good thing we have one coming on next.
Common sense. There's some common sense here that I thought the way that the accident was described to me. Any situation where you have a couple of hundred thousands of dollars of damage to a warehouse in a workplace, probably to me might sound like probable cause, but was not able to be done. Like I say, we have a drug-free environment. Protects all the workers and, you know, provides a better environment for all to work in. And that's what our employers are, and that's what our employees should be looking for.
So why not, you know, again, this came to your attention partly because a constituent said, look at this situation, this doesn't seem like it's working right. But employers have the right in most cases to fire someone who's not doing their job well. And, you know, in fact, if you do drug test an employee and that test comes back positive, there are other steps that an employer then has to take, like allowing an employee to go into a treatment program and use a company's EAP to do that. So why would employers want more opportunities to drug test if that means that they also have other things that they have to do instead of just saying, look, I don't need to know why, but you no longer work here?
Well, you know, I'm sitting on the Commerce Committee, and we're listening every day to the fact that there aren't enough people in the state of Vermont to fill all these jobs that we need filled. And we're looking at, you know, anybody with any kind of warm body can probably get a good job if they're willing to work hard. I think employers do have a lot of policies that deal with drug and alcohol issues and problems, and they would probably prefer to deal with that and work that process through. It may be able to give someone a chance to have their drug or alcohol problems addressed if they haven't done it themselves, if this is the only way that they can get treatment or one of the ways they can start treatment. Mm. You know, employers will have to make up their own minds as to how they deal with this. But like I say, a lot of them have these policies in place already. And I'm not sure that's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing. So I think that that's something that they may want to do and address so that they can improve the environment for all the workers.
Representative Dickinson, this bill was sent to the Committee on Commerce and Economic Development a couple weeks ago, hasn't moved yet. Do you think that there's enough of an appetite for it that it's likely to hit the floor and move through the process before crossover?
I don't know about that. I sit on the Commerce Committee. I have talked to the chairman about that. And we're only just starting. Many of us are just starting on our bills that have been introduced. So we will certainly, I would certainly love to have the committee process work and get testimony and see if we can make some kind of have some kind of a vote on it. Yes, I'd like to do that.
Do you think within the biennium you expect it to pass, or is this one that's going to come up against some vociferous complaints?
Well, this is now the third time I've submitted this third biennium. I've submitted this bill. And so I'm patient, and I'd be happy to do it within this biennium.
That is Representative Lynn Dickinson, a Republican legislator from St. Albans. She's the sponsor of H-200, which seeks to expand the ability of Vermont employers to administer drug tests to workers. Representative Dickinson, thanks very much for explaining your bill. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Jen. I appreciate you taking me on.
We are talking today about drug testing and how that works in the state. And Representative Dickinson mentioned lawyers are especially attuned to how this all works. And so we've brought one on the show to answer any questions that you might have about this issue. It does get kind of complicated what the current law states in terms of this question of probable cause that an employer has to have before they're legally allowed to drug test an employee and all the other rules and laws surrounding drug testing. Interesting to talk about. And interesting to think about what might change under some expanded regulations. So Beth Radigan joins us now. She's an attorney with Downs Racklin Martin. She specializes in employment and labor law. Downs Racklin Martin is a VPR underwriter. Beth Radigan, it's nice to have you back on the program.
Nice to be here.
Now, Beth, we've talked about this a little in the past, but you should update us again on when and how employers are allowed to administer drug tests to employees under current Vermont law.
Sure. As you mentioned before, Jane, there is no random drug testing allowed in the state of Vermont unless, of course, a federal law supersedes that, such as in the case of commercial driver's license individuals. So generally, employers cannot randomly drug test. They can test pre-employment, but when in the course of normal employment they have a suspicion that is not probable cause, they cannot test. So they must have probable cause as the current law exists in order to test an employee. And also, as you mentioned before, once they get the test results, even if the test results are positive, then the employee cannot be terminated. The employee must be given an opportunity to seek treatment and given a second chance, essentially.
So, and an employer then is not allowed to fire an employee until that employee tests positive for a second time after that course of treatment?
That's right.
So do you find that employers even want to administer these drug tests? I'm not suggesting that employers don't want what's best for their employees, but there's a lot to go through, not only to have permission to administer a drug test, but then if that test comes back positive, it's not like the employer, you know, washes their hands of an employee.
That's absolutely right. And I think that a lot of employers make the decision not to do drug testing just because of that. And as I regularly advise employers, you know, you don't need a drug test to terminate someone. If you observe things that are problematic in that employee's conduct, i.e. they're weaving down the hallway and they're not performing their job well, or they see that they're in an accident at work and they think that there are other factors involved, they can simply terminate. They don't need to have a drug test in order to terminate someone. In fact, as you point out, they can't if on that initial drug test.
Interestingly, if an employer was to say, or a manager was to say to their employee, I think you might have a problem with, you know, substance abuse. And, you know, could I talk to you about maybe you want to go into treatment? If then, after that, an employer fires an employee without drug testing them, that could open the employer up to charges, right? That the employee could say, actually, you terminated me without cause, or you terminated me under what should be protected status. And so, you know, there's that question of how do you talk to an employee about what you think might be a problem without doing a drug test and without then, you know, putting the employer in a position that, that makes it more difficult.
Right. And it's definitely a fine line for employers to walk. It's difficult to raise the issue with employees in the first instance. But if you see a behavior, you can certainly terminate someone because you see behavior that is problematic and not safe. Mm-hmm. And you can say, you don't have to have that conversation that I think you have a drug problem, because it could be, might not, it might be something else. It is possible that someone, for instance, could have signs of some other problem that is not a drug problem. But so you can really base the decision to terminate on simply the symptoms of this was unsafe conduct, and so we're terminating. But you are right that once an employer suspects that there's a drug dependency problem, and Vermont law is more protective of folks that have drug dependency issues than, say, federal law. Under the ADA, illegal drug use is not a protected, you know, disability, whereas state law has a little more protection for folks that are undergoing treatment and or say that they want to seek treatment. And so it is a fine line for employers to walk, and they do have to be careful of that.
We got a note from Mike in St. Johnsbury who wants to know or is sort of thinking about what substances are being tested for and what some underlying political motivations might be. So Mike writes, timing seems a bit suspicious now that cannabis is legal. I'd be just as nervous working a production line next to a hungover, overtired worker as I would next to a hard drug user. The effects of many prescription drugs can be as bad, if not worse. Are those going to be tested and sanctioned too? So, Beth, before I hand this over to you, I'll remind people there are current laws on the books about when and how an employer can administer a drug test. So we're really talking what's in current law in terms of what substances are allowed to be tested for and how it's actually done, because the proposed new law that we've been talking about doesn't change which substances are being tested for, I don't think. It changes the sort of burden of proof an employer must meet. So what about what is actually being tested?
That's right. It doesn't change what is being tested. And what the current law says that therapeutic levels of drugs are not to be reported. So that is part of what the requirement of the current law is, so that if someone is on some sort of therapeutic drug for some reason, that cannot be reported.
Including marijuana?
Well, not yet. That's an interesting thing, because there is no definition yet of what the therapeutic basis would be for marijuana. But you raise a good point, because other states are grappling with this through their court systems, and I suspect that Vermont will eventually get there too, where someone with a medical marijuana card takes it for completely legitimate reasons and yet can't pass a pre-employment drug test, because the marijuana is always going to show up, because marijuana, unlike many other drugs, marijuana can stay in your system a very long time and will cause a positive result in a drug test even when someone is not under the influence. So it is a challenge, but in other states, when people have challenged the law, other courts in other states have said, under your state disability laws, you may need to accommodate someone who is taking medical marijuana for a disability. And under Vermont now, as it currently is, Vermont law protects people with disabilities, so you have to look at the underlying condition for which the person may be taking medical marijuana, and that condition may need to be accommodated. So I think all of those issues are sort of developing in the law in Vermont, and we'll continue to see more from that. I know the Attorney General's office in Vermont has submitted guidelines about this and do talk about the nature of needing to be cognizant of the disability angle as well.
How are opioids treated under that question of therapeutic levels and therapeutic use? And is a drug test able to differentiate between what might be a prescription opioid, which is not to say necessarily that it was taken under that prescription, but versus something like heroin?
Right. There are. I'm not a chemist, but my understanding is that they can test for certain drugs, and they will test. They know what a therapeutic level would be, and they'd be able to tell what is not a therapeutic level. And so, if someone is taking something off-label or something that is for recreational purposes, they would be able, and it would exceeded a certain amount, they would be able to test for that. The law lists what the controlled substances are that are normally tested, but of course, those can be used in a variety of circumstances. But generally, also, my understanding is that an employer could say to a testing lab, don't report certain substances. For instance, I know that because of this problem of employers finding enough workers for certain positions, some employers are deciding to say, I don't want to test for marijuana. Please take marijuana off the panel of drugs you test, because it's not a safety concern for us for this particular position, and we can't get enough applicants who can pass drug tests. So we're not even going to test for that anymore.
Let's go to Jay, who's on the line with us from Barry. Hi, Jay. You're on the air. What are you thinking about?
Well, I'm an employer who's given up, and I'm declining work. I have two employees. I don't need to drug test them because I don't need to drug test them. And I've given up on declining work and just doing what I can with the two people I have. And, when you bring someone in and they're, doing drug abuse, it can have effects on safety, and it can also have effects on the morale of the people who are staying sober, and it's kind of disrespectful and dangerous.
So, Jay, let me ask you. So you say you've given up, but you mean you're not hiring new employees, not because of the drug testing laws, but because you have found it difficult to hire employees who are not using drugs? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And so do you think there is a difference in the law around drug testing that would make your job hiring employees easier, or do you see this more as just a problem at large with drug use these days?
Yeah, I think my problem is I don't have the stomach to confront people and make them take a drug test. That whole process is just so gut-wrenching that, I've done it a few times, and I just never want to do it again.
Well, Jay, I really appreciate you sharing that perspective because, certainly we're talking about these very strict laws and how that's worded and what is tested. But here you are, an employer, saying this is a gut-wrenching thing to do as an employer. And I appreciate you bringing that humanity into this part of the conversation. Let's quickly talk with Blake, who's calling in from Berlin. Hi, Blake. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My comment was in regards to after the accident occurs and then the employee being drug tested. And what worried me about that was if the employer or the employee was found to be on drugs and they injured another employee, I feel like the employer would then just wash their hands of the thing and put all the pressure on the person whose fault it was to pay for all the expenses the other injured employee occurred during the accident, and then therefore you will cause problems between the both of them. The other person might not have money to pay for their medical bills and things like that. It just seems like it would be an easy out for the employer, and people don't carry insurance like businesses do to cover these types of things and pay for people's hospital bills. And I'll take my response off the air, but that's basically my line of thinking.
Yeah, Blake, I appreciate that. Beth Radigan, what happens after an employee tests positive?
Well, sure. I mean, in the instance where there's someone injured, the workers' compensation rules would cover any employees' medical bills and all of that sort of thing, regardless.
Even if the other employee tested positive.
Yes. I mean, it's a work-related accident, and that's what that workers' compensation insurance is for. So I think that there shouldn't be that worry about how are the bills going to be paid. By the same token, I think that, again, you don't need to drug. There's an accident and people decide, you know, we look at all these facts and this shouldn't have happened, then an employer can terminate without the drug testing as well. So I think that it's unusual that you would find yourself in some circumstances, as the caller suggests.
Although, you know, an employer is the one determining whether to administer that drug test or not if the burden of proof is met. And so it's not about the employee saying, please don't do this. You know, it will open me up. Presumably, it could open an employee up to a civil suit, right?
Sure. Yeah. Usually it's the employee. If it's there are circumstances where that can happen, but generally, the workers' comp is going to cover a work-related accident.
Keith says, unless you have a substantial belief that the employee was impaired at the time of an accident, then no, employers shouldn't be allowed to test. I don't believe in drug testing for employment, period. There's no place for it at work, but what you do on your own time is nobody's business. Olivia in Proctor says being involved in a serious workplace accident is the only situation where a test seems reasonable. Again, under Vermont law and under the proposed legislation, when an employee is allowed to be tested wouldn't be changing. So it would be under circumstances like a serious accident, or pre-employment testing is allowed. But this would not allow for random drug testing. That's not currently allowed under Vermont law and would not be allowed under an expanded legislation. Cameron in Paula says if someone makes a mistake and injuries occur and the employer thinks that the person may have been intoxicated, I think they should be allowed to demand a drug test on the spot, but not as a prerequisite or on a regular basis. Zachary in Swanton is a former lab tech at a testing facility and writes, no, employers shouldn't be allowed to test after an accident. No useful information is gained except what the person has taken in roughly the last 72 hours to 30 days, marijuana being the only one that's detectable after about 5 days, depending on usage. Zachary says, administer a sobriety test and move along. And Tom in Londonderry says, I hate the very concept of drug testing in the workplace, and I oppose the changes in H200 as unnecessary and harmful to workers. Tom has four issues that he sees with it. One is, he writes, there's currently no problem with drugs in the workplace that can't be addressed with currently available tools. Second, the current fixation on drug testing appears to be prompted by recent changes to marijuana laws. But the best a drug test can do is indicate if somebody's used marijuana recently, not whether they're currently under the influence. Third, reducing the standard for drug testing allows employers to use drug testing to target employees they don't like. And Beth Radigan, I love your thoughts on that. Finally, drug testing following an accident or injury creates a penalty for reporting an injury, a powerful disincentive for workers to seek otherwise appropriate workers' compensation benefits. Employers shouldn't be allowed to do anything that might discourage employees from reporting an accident or filing legal workers' compensation claims. So again, those are the thoughts of Tom in Londonderry. Beth Radigan, what do you think about those ideas?
Well, I think a lot of those are valid, and a lot of those ideas are what employers do now. I mean, I think that there are ways for employers to deal with this short of the drug testing. And as I've mentioned before, I often will advise employers, you don't need the drug testing to do that. You can focus on the performance. You can focus on the problems on the job. So I think that particularly that point about, well, people can use drug testing to get rid of someone they don't like. Well, I think you need to, and I advise employers that you really should have detailed and documented reasons for why someone is not performing on the job, and that should be the reason. And, you know, having to go through the drug test in order to do it is a lot more burdensome than simply doing your background to say, here are the problems with this person's performance, and this is the reason we're going to terminate. It's always the best case.
Let's take another perspective here. The ACLU of Vermont does not like H200, the expanded drug testing bill, which has prompted our discussion today. We've talked about drug testing in the past. Chloe White is ACLU's director of policy. Hi, Chloe. What's the concern of the ACLU?
Hi, Jane. Well, you know, the ACLU is really concerned about this. We were big backers of the initial legislation that put in this probable cause standard in 1987. And we think lowering it would really be a mistake. This is about privacy and having to meet a high standard to collect bodily fluids from an employee. You know, the Supreme Court has found that when you're doing something so invasive that you need to meet a high standard.
But employers are allowed to drug test an employee prior to that employee taking a job. So, you know, in that case, they're allowed to do it with no concern that an employee might be taking drugs or currently, you know, impaired by a substance.
Sure. And I think But I think, you know, once the employee is here, I think that what we're talking about here, once the employee is employed by the employer, that they are given certain protections. You know, I think if you, you know, looking at this bill, it's not just for an accident where it changes the standard. It's for anything. It says it changes probable cause to a reasonable basis. And I think that there's still an ability to do an investigation post-accident here. You know, if someone has an accident and then there's, you know, there's slurring, there's other behavior you would expect from someone who's impaired, that would lead me to believe that there would be probable cause to test. I really think Tom and Londonderry really hit those points that, you know, for any other drug, all a drug test detects is whether the drug is in your system and not impairment. And I think really that this is an issue of privacy, and we shouldn't be lowering the standard while we're investigating into people's, you know, usage and bodily fluids.
Well, I appreciate your perspective and for sharing it with us. That's Chloe White, ACLU of Vermont, Director of Policy. Thanks very much, Chloe. And let's get the flip side of the coin here from Matt Musgrave, who's Deputy Executive Vice President with the Association of General Contractors of Vermont. And before that, he was the business director at a large real estate firm and dealt directly with employees and independent contractors and the question of workplace drug testing. Matt, it's nice to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
So why do you support H200 and this idea of lowering the standard from probable cause to reasonable basis?
Well, you used a word earlier that kind of struck a chord with me, and it's kind of changed what my kind of prepared statement was. So I'm going to give you
great
a statement based on what I
we heard. Like it when people go off their prepared statements.
So you used the word humanitarian earlier, and I think that's really relevant to this discussion because, you know, a lot of the talking points that I had prepared, you kind of already discussed where, you know, the employers currently are living under this high threshold of probable cause in order to provide the litmus test for a test. And really they're dealing with the situation now that, in fact, it's just easier to let someone go. And where I'm bringing humanitarian into this is, you know, we're talking about alcohol, we're talking about drugs, and we're talking about, you know, particularly in a state like Vermont that we're already dealing with a major opioid epidemic. You know, the humanitarian side of this is, well, hey, you know, so-and-so got into an accident. They clearly seem like they're intoxicated. Well, under current law, well, we'll just fire them, and they'll go out the door. And that person, that individual, is now without a job, potentially could be dealing with a situation they could be out of their home. They might not be able to afford their bills for food because they don't have a job. So we're putting them out there. They're not getting any treatment. They're not getting attention that they deserve. Whereas if you have a situation, and first I want to point out, you know, number one, it's not just tied to the industry that I work with. This is across the board in Vermont, as it is in the rest of the country, that you do have people that are showing up for work. And we have, you know, a number of anecdotal situations that I'd be happy to talk about today. But the underlying issue is that you have people that have issues that aren't being served because we've taken a laissez-faire approach to it.
So, Matt, would you prefer to? It's again not in any legislation that's proposed now, but would you want to see random testing be allowed?
Well, we actually have a member out of state. New York does provide random drug testing, and those companies actually, one of the companies in particular that we work with, they test 5% of their workforce every year. Every month they break out a few people, and it's all done randomly. So they test people every month throughout the year with the goal of getting to 5%. What that actually does is it provides them the opportunity to, A, go out and look at their workforce, and B, you know, it provides some sort of, you know, they know that drug test is possible. So it gives you that kind of ability to let them know that, you know, don't show up for work intoxicated.
That's Matt Musgrave, Deputy Executive Vice President with the Association of General Contractors of Vermont. The association and Matt support H200, this expanded drug testing bill. Matt, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
All right. So, Beth Radigan, we did hear from Representative Dickinson at the beginning of the show. This is the third time she's introduced this legislation. Do you think there's any appetite for lowering the standard or increasing the ability for employers to drug test?
I'm not sure that there is an appetite in the legislature to have it pass. I don't know that there are, because I often will counsel employers, you don't need to go through this because it's a lot easier, as Matt just said, to just terminate, that I don't know that there's that big of a need. And even if it's changed, as you mentioned, you've still got to have employers complying with the various steps after the drug test. So I'm not sure that it helps employers that much. But there is that deterrent effect that Matt mentioned, which some employers would like to see, perhaps.
Beth Radigan is an attorney with Downs Racklin Martin, a law firm, and she specializes in employment and labor law. Beth, thanks for coming back on today.
You're welcome.
Downs Racklin Martin is a VPR underwriter.